talkingplace247.com.
And a very good afternoon to you. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. It is a very summer-like mid-May day here in mid-Ohio. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I can assure you that your brain cells, your eardrums, and other relevant radio listening body accessories will be very pleased that you have decided to tune in on this May the 18th, 2021. Now, you can listen to this show many different ways. You can use the old-fashioned method. If you have an FM radio receiver in your car, in your office, in your home, on your bicycle or motorcycle, tune into 107.1 megahertz, and you can listen pretty much anywhere in Marion County, sometimes a couple miles into adjacent counties. I was traveling from the Delaware area to arrive here, and about 2 miles south of the county line, I heard Scott Spears in his dulcet tones playing a previously recorded radio broadcast. If you're a Facebook user, especially if you're a Facebook friend of mine, you can go to my Facebook page, look up Adam the Computer Guy, and you can notice that it says Adam Lepp is live now. Click the button, and voila, you will not only see my not-so-pretty face, one of those made-for-radio faces, but you'll hear my dulcet tones. And last but not least, if you are an internet user, if you have a smartphone or a phone that's at least halfway intelligent, phone with an IQ more than its shoe size, so to speak, just go to our website, wwgh1071.com, click on the Listen Now button, which I call the triangular-shaped thingy, and you can listen. We also suggest that if you're a smartphone user, you can, again, use the website, but also download the free TuneIn app. Search for TuneIn, and then search for WWGH. Make it a favorite. Click the little heart icon, and you can listen on demand anywhere in the universe with internet access. Want to thank Jimmy in the northwest side of Columbus for watching the video and listening, a good friend of mine. Actually, he's a really interesting guy. We'd like to have him on the show at some time in the future. So that'll be a preview of coming attractions. Anyone else watching the live video, thank you for doing so. It is greatly appreciated. You can give me a phone call. Pick up the phone. Don't be shy. I don't bite. Well, at least not too hard. 740-383-9944. You might ask, what would you want to converse with Adam about? Well, we can, of course, talk about the weather. And speaking of weather, we have a special guest in the studio who will be discussing weather in detail very shortly. You can talk about politics. As you may have noticed, the masks are coming off. And are you happy about that? Are you not happy about that? Well, you probably know how I feel. Let me know how you feel. Do you agree, disagree? We can debate. We can agree. Whatever you wish. One great thing about talk radio is I respect all opinions, whether or not they are consistent with my opinions. And talking about them gets the creative juices flowing. It allows us to form more intellectual assessments of the world around us. Do you miss Donald Trump? Do you miss President Lincoln? Do you miss George Washington? Do you like President Biden? Do you not like President Biden? Are you a fan of some of the current music and TV shows that are in your television and radio? I'm not, but if you are, that's great. If you are, like myself, knowledgeable of music from 1973 until 1987, that's great. You can play Stump the DJ, because I claim to be a walking encyclopedia of all music and a lot of the TV from that period. Ask me a trivia question. Who sings the song? Who's in this band? What instrument does this person play? Sing a few bars of a tune. See if I can guess it. See if you can stump the DJ. And you might be surprised that I really am quite the wise guy that I claim to be. Or you can pick a topic. Last but not least, my day job. Well, I have many day jobs, but one of them is I'm a computer tech and web developer. And yes, I am the web developer for WWGH1071.com. If you have a computer question or a computer opinion, feel free to call me and ask me. Several people have done that in previous shows, and I really appreciate it. I am providing free technical support. You will not have to slide your credit card through your phone. You can call and ask me a question. If I can answer it, I will. Also, today, I have two guests in the studio, not just the one, but another one. They're both also very good with computers, so between the three of us, I'm sure we can add our IQs together and solve almost any technical problem that you might have. Current time here in Marion, 17 minutes after 2. In the p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Adam Lepp again thanking you for listening. Now going to do a little bit of engineering, and sometimes we're not quite sure what button controls what microphone. So let me go ahead and see if I can locate guest number one. Just like they used to say on What's My Line, guest number one, will you sign in, please?
What's going on, Marion? There we are. There we are.
You are number four. Number four! Now, well, guest number one, if he sounds familiar, if these dulcet tones sound even remotely familiar, it's because he's our weatherman, Zach Fuller, who's been our weatherman for quite a while. He's done weather and news in the great Marion area for quite a long time. And the exciting part is that his venture is only getting better. It is really helping out the community, allowing businesses to spread the word about the great things that they do. And one nice thing about the Midwest, Zach, is if you don't like the weather, just close your eyes and it's likely to change. Now, that can be good or bad. I like the fact that we get snow pretty much any time between October and April. In fact, there was actually some wet snow in northern Ohio in the early part of May, which can occur. Mm-hmm. Frost can occur any time from late September, but normally middle of October until early May. And, you know, in the summer, temperature can be 95 degrees, and you kind of wish that you could build a snowman. But, of course, when it's January and you wake up and it's 5 degrees, you might not have those same thoughts. But on a more serious topic, Zach, we are entering tornado season. Mm-hmm. And tornadoes can occur almost anywhere in North America, but they are prevalent in the Midwest. Dayton, certainly that area, Tornado Alley.
Yep.
The Miami Valley is known as a place that has more tornadoes than I believe anywhere else in Ohio. I mean, Kansas, Oklahoma, parts of Arkansas, that area is certainly known for not only having a multitude of tornadoes, but the tornadoes can be quite damaging.
Yep.
But let me ask you this first, Zach, because this does kind of come to mind. Why is it that in Ohio you can just travel a few miles and end up in an area that doesn't have a big tornado risk to one that does? Like Xenia has had two major tornadoes in the last almost 50 years. Why is Dayton, the Miami Valley, why is that area susceptible to tornadoes? How does it compare to the risk of a tornado in the Marion, Mansfield, Bucyrus area?
So one of the big things to keep in mind is that you always want to go by your geography when it comes to that area. Most of the time, what's cool about tornadoes, some of them not too cool, but a tornado is when your warm air pushes above the cold air, or your high front pushes over the low front. And typically, as the weather's coming through, right around that area is typically where we'll see that high pressure and low pressure meet. Now, that can meet anywhere, to be honest with you. It can meet, you know, in Toledo area. It can meet in Columbus area. You know, it's just how Mother Nature decides she's going to do things.
So the Miami Valley, I'm right in that. It seems to be more of a tornado-prone area, but mm-hmm. tornadoes can occur in Ashtabula or Zanesville.
They can actually happen anywhere, and it's ultimately, like I said, it's just where that high pressure and low pressure meet, and then you've got your storms, and you know what builds up and builds up from there is kind of where we're.
So Xenia, Ohio, that area just isn't in a place where the forces.
Xenia just needs to move.
The matrix, the landscape, certainly is more conducive to tornadoes.
Yes.
But they can occur anywhere.
They can occur anywhere.
And I really should know this, but what was maybe the most major tornado, at least in the last 100 years, that the Marion area has had?
The most recent one, and it actually wasn't in the Marion area. The closest one that we've actually had was actually down in Cardington.
So that's not too far.
So not too far, probably about what, 10 miles?
15 miles.
15 yeah, miles, something like that. Yeah. They actually had a tornado, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, it was an EF2, which is a kind of like a the scale that they go on. It was like an EF2, and it went directly down Main Street in Cardington. And I've actually, somewhere around here, somewhere in one of my files, I actually still have video from when that happened.
Because you're a weather spotter, right?
I'm actually an advanced weather spotter.
Weather spotter.
Yeah, there's two different kinds. Your weather spotter is somebody that you just go to a regular class, and then advanced is another one that you go through that kind of pinpoints more of the technical side of watching for storms and watching.
Tornadoes are fascinating. I mean, often they're very damaging, so we want to mention that kind of just with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
That what causes them is incredible study in climatology and
exactly.
Weather and changes in the weather and the landscape. Do you think that some of the urbanization of some areas were putting out buildings, removing farmland, has that affected the landscape, which has affected whether or not we are more susceptible to a tornado? They talked about that with hurricanes. I mean, if they build up a certain area, we have higher buildings. Is there protection? Is it maybe not a good thing to have these tall buildings in an area that can possibly get a serious tornado?
I mean, if you think about it, if you go over to, you know, Missouri or Kansas, and you look at their, you know, high populated cities, they still have,
right.
You know, those skyscrapers over there, or, you know, the tall buildings over there, but they still get tornadoes.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter. In my opinion, I don't see that building a taller structure or anything like that is going to prevent a tornado to come through.
I mean, we've talked about like putting in barriers for hurricanes in areas that are prone, not just Florida, but I mean the Delaware coast, the Carolinas,
mm-hmm.
New Orleans is built underwater.
Yeah.
So there are cities that certainly are a recipe for the high winds and the rains of mm-hmm. a hurricane.
Yeah.
And I guess the preparation is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And we have gotten the remnants of hurricanes, Hurricane Ike with that Derecho, whatever it was called, with the
yep.
power being out for over a week in some places.
Just
like we get the edges of lake effect snow. We don't get it directly like in Ashtabula in the northeastern Cleveland suburbs do, mm-hmm. Erie, Pennsylvania. We don't get a direct path of a hurricane. We're too inland. But
right.
on a strong hurricane, it'll obviously start moving inland. We'll get the remnants of it, which might include a power outage,
yeah.
extended winds, rain.
I actually remember when Ike came through, because it actually came up through the Dayton area.
Right.
And then kind of followed along I-70 there in Columbus, and portions of it actually ended up hitting, because I remember I was actually living in Columbus at the time, and coming back into town and noticing that the Huntington building downtown was missing half of its windows.
It is fascinating the path that these storms take, and you think
yeah.
tropical storm. Well, we're not tropical. We're the northern Midwest.
Yeah.
But Mother Nature can certainly throw a curve.
Exactly.
And for those who are not familiar with the landscape and the weather to our northeast, we're not talking about a trip up to Maine. I mean, you're talking about once you get past Mansfield, you are in lake effect snow country. Chardon,
mm-hmm.
Ohio gets about four times as much snow a year as
Cleveland,
as Marion does. And you go 5 miles and suddenly you're out of that zone. A little bit like tornadoes. I would say the lake effect is a little more extreme because of the way that the winds blow on Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas tornadoes, yes, seems like the Dayton area, even Grove City, Ohio, that area for some reason seems to be in Tornado Alley. But the lake effect snow, you can pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
And although it sounds a little crazy, Chardon, Ohio does get 125 plus inches of snow a year on the average. I mean, some years are more than others, but it averages out, which is about twice, about 35 or so is what Marion would get. Having lived in Rochester, New York, lived just north of Syracuse, I've seen the lake effect snow and a lot of it too. And this is more when you go north, not as much in Ohio. As we get a lot of sleet, we get rain, we get ice, and that isn't really snow, or it's mixed snow. When you get to areas more to the north, they may not get as much precipitation as we do, but they don't really get the rain and sleet. If it precipitates in December or January or February, it's probably going to be snow, and that affects areas like Syracuse also.
Right. You know, and I think the most snow that I've actually ever personally seen is dead middle of January in Buffalo, New York. You know, Buffalo, you know, they get, I think when I pulled into the station up there, I think we had, it had already snowed close to 26 inches.
That's almost an entire year snowfall.
Exactly.
That's more than what Cincinnati would get. Then again, Cincinnati, it's actually wetter as you're going southwest. It's just warmer. Average high in January is about 39. So when it precipitates, it's going to be rain, it's sleet, mixture.
Yep.
If it's snow, it might melt a little sooner. We had that fairly big snowfall a few weeks ago, but it melted the same day, and that'll happen with the sun beating down on you, but it still counts.
Exactly.
And it almost seems like we get that snow right around the beginning of baseball season. It snows in Cleveland or Cincinnati, and then it just melts, and then it's 75 degrees again. And this week we have temperatures that are going to push 90.
I know.
And we enjoy the variety. One other question. We're talking to Zach Fuller, our resident weatherman, who has a lot of talents. We actually call him the Zach of all trades here at the station. If you have a question about the weather, feel free to give us a ring. Again, we provide free technical support. You don't have to swipe your credit card on your phone or anything. 740-383-9944. I'd like to welcome Tyler W. to my Facebook video, listening from the great capital city of Columbus as the motorcycles drive by.
Yep.
A lot of motorcycles on this road.
There is. But it's a good day to actually get out.
If there was ever a motorcycle-friendly day, this would be it.
I want to say this entire week would be motorcycle-friendly.
Convertible. You know, you have a Corvette convertible. I'm envious of it. My car has a sunroof.
Right.
That's kind of fun. But, you know, nothing beats a wind in your hair.
Exactly.
And, you know, maybe a bee landing on your forehead or something. I don't want a pickle. I just want to ride my motorcycle.
Right.
I heard that one.
But, and then this weekend's going to be good for people to get out and do some mowing in the yard and get some lawn stuff done. So keep in mind, though, if you're, say, out in the countryside or even here in the city, make sure that you're blowing your grass clippings back.
Yeah, don't blow it in the road.
I mean, we've got bikers that go out, and you'd be surprised. I've actually seen it happen before where a biker will go over the grass clippings, and these grass clippings just blow right up in their face and get up under their tires. And it's just
please don't. And it also stains the road.
Yeah.
Bag them or mulch them and let them kind of absorb back into your yard. But, don't blow them on the road. It's be a good neighbor.
You know,
that's one thing we really do stress. About 2:30 here at the Talking Place, taking your phone call, 740-383-9944 on the Adam Lep, Adam the Computer Guy, Radio Extravaganza, talking to Zach of All Trades Fuller. Also in the studio today is a gentleman. He was actually on my first show about 5.5 years ago, and he does pop in from time to time, I guess when he is in the mood to talk or shoot the breeze or whatever else might be an interesting and fun broadcasting experience. I'm not sure if I have turned up the right knob, so mystery guest number two, can you sign in, please?
Hello there, Marion. My name is Brandon Oak, and how are you all doing?
Very good. Now, if you can talk a little closer to the microphone, talk again.
Let's try that. There we go. Yeah.
Let's try one more time here. That's phone. One more time, Brandon.
And there we go.
Hey, we can
go
hear
ahead
now.
And talk for just a second again.
All right, then there we go. Hello,
much
Larry.
Better. That is the wonderful right microphone. Go ahead and talk about 3 inches from the green
right,
foam
then
thing.
There we go. Hey, look at that. Yeah, we're all live.
The green foam thingy is what we call it. The GFT. Now, Brandon Oak, you've been again on my show from time to time, either live as we are today, or I've called you. You've called me, or we've done a taped show from the what I call LEP.FM radio studios.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the fourth location we've been in at the station, actually the fifth. There were two locations at the mall. You've only seen, I think this is the second one that you've seen.
Yeah, it is the second one, yes.
The hearing aid one is kind of the one that I remember the most. I'm not really sure why, but this one is our permanent home. Now, Certainly, there are differences in every studio, and Scott and others have done a great job with the acoustics and making this look like a radio studio. Indeed. But, of course, that's only part of the equation. Now, and Zach, feel free to chime in also. How does this particular locale at the approximate intersection of Prospect and Washington in the near south side of the great city of Marion, how does that compare to the other studios that you have seen our illustrious radio station broadcast from?
I would say let's, as you said before, I'm sure this would make the perfect forever home for the station. Just the aesthetics, it just seems to work overall.
It's more room and
much nicer.
It's quaint. Mm-hmm. And how's the landlord? Does the landlord give you trouble like the other landlords, or is he or she one of the more likable ones?
Just enough to give me a little trouble, but
just enough to make it fun, right?
Yes.
That's what we call him, the GLL, the greedy landlord. But all in all, he's okay, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because you've rented properties, and Zach, you've rented properties, and, you know, you got your good landlords, you got your bad landlords, you got your greedy landlords, and you got your landlords that you really wish would pick a different line of work. And this one, I guess, is probably toward the upper echelon.
Yeah.
But not perfect.
Yep.
Do you think that, you know, Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. are landlords, right? Do you think this landlord compares favorably to the Trump Sr. and Jr. as landlords?
Well, you're close.
Okay, we're close. Okay.
We're close there.
But wouldn't it be nice to have Melania as, like, the landlady?
No.
You get to look at her when she comes in and she picks up the rent?
There we go.
You know, she would speak in one of the six languages that she speaks. You wouldn't quite know what she was saying. But, you know, she'd be asking for money, regardless of what language she would be using.
It's about the looks.
Well, you've also got that international sign of, here's my hand.
Right.
Put money in my hand. You know,
right.
That greeting.
The hand is a universal symbol and a universal body part associated with landlords and landladies all over the world. Now, both of you guys, if you want to talk about, you know, what I call a more controversial topic, it would appear that the masks are coming off. And I've noticed that just in my doings, literally the last couple of days. We had Governor DeWine saying that as of the 2nd, all the regulations are going to be discontinued. The CDC made an adjustment to what they recommend. And then Mike DeWine said, well, we're going to follow what they said. But again, if you go to some stores, they still have their own regulations, as do some cities. Again, you don't have to comment. This is a controversial topic. Brandon, why don't you go first? Do you have any comments on that? Not just your opinion, but do you think it's going to make a difference? Do you think it's maybe the biggest news story, at least this year? Are we seeing a light at the end of the tunnel? Any thoughts? I mean, you've heard the news. I'm sure that something went through your mind when you heard it. What is your assessment of this?
Well, coming from the big city, it is a nice change here in Marion that they're not as strict as they are in our lovely capital. So I think this is probably for the better. And, you know, again, if people want to wear a mask, go for it. But if the people who don't, I feel as though they shouldn't have to do so.
So you're like me, freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. I completely respect your decision. No, I've changed a bit on that. If you want to wear a mask, that's fine. And again, theoretically, there is some benefit, and there are other possible benefits. Again, masks are also helpful if you're around some hazardous environments. It's a multifaceted usage, and also depends upon how it's worn and what kind of mask. If you feel comfortable doing it, that's fine. I will completely respect your decision.
And I do want to bring up one thing that we have in common going to, say, buffets. Yes, we have to wear a mask, but how dirty are our hands when we touch the ladles, and sanitizer right. doesn't exactly work?
You're supposed to wear the gloves, but the gloves have been sitting out,
and
getting the environment on them, and not everybody wears them.
So which is worse, your hands or your breath?
Yeah, it would be a topic, I think, of controversy. I think somebody could write a PhD thesis
eventually
on this. And the whole, Zach, because you're a father. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a perspective that I can't offer, as I'm not a father. I'm an uncle. That's as close as I can come.
Okay.
And you have two children, I believe. Two beautiful mm-hmm. children, a beautiful wife here. You live just a few blocks away.
Yep.
And that's really convenient, since you are a Zach of all trades.
Right.
As a father, what is you don't have to comment. What is your perspective on that? I mean, and you know, you can also mention how your wife feels. What went through your mind when you've seen, literally the last couple of days, we've had momentous changes in this whole the whole philosophy, and you've seen around town the differences and all the social media comments. Anything you'd want to, I know you talked to Scott a little bit about it last week, but there's been changes since then. Anything you wanted to add, again, especially as a father and a husband?
So one of the big things that I've come to realize with this whole, you know, no masks as of June 2nd, and I keep it in the back of my mind, because when all of this started, I mean, I've got a six-year-old. You know, my kids are young. You know, so when it comes down to it, you know, I'm basically, to me, it felt like all I'm doing is shoving a sock in my kid's mouth. You know, and it kind of, it kind of like bugged me there for a bit. But then, you know, when schools weren't opening back up and they were doing the hybrid and everything like that, that's where we kind of said, okay, well, maybe this is something that's going to be for the best for the kids. Then Marion City Schools ended up vaccinating all their teachers, and now they're back into school 5 days a week for, I think, another 2 weeks or so. But, you know, thinking about it like that, you know, are we going to continue basically putting a hand over our mouth, you know, or over our kids' mouth, so that they're not going to end up getting sick from this virus? But that's just my opinion.
It's hard, and especially when you are a father, you're responsible for your kids' welfare and setting a good example.
Yeah.
And I bring up, you know, I'm socially awkward. I might sound all chipper. And I'm on the radio, that's how I am, but I can assure you social skills are not up to my computer skills or my musical knowledge, et cetera. And I think as social animals, we need to exercise that interaction. And if there's an emergency, that's one thing. But if there's a controversial fix, is maybe the cure worse than the problem? And we need to make sure people are nurtured and get out and about. Yeah. And is it not healthy to be cooped up? Last spring when this happened, it was like we had a whole summer that was canceled.
Yeah.
We have to weigh that, you know.
Yep.
And there is freedom of choice, and there is making the right decision. And, you know, I commend you, Zach, because, again, as a father and husband, your job is much more difficult. I just have to look out for myself.
Right.
And you have other people to look out for. So it'll certainly be something that we will be debating and hearing about in history books for a long time.
Very much so.
But we want to look at it. I like to say, take every bad experience, turn it into a positive and a learning experience.
Exactly.
And you will learn, you will function better, and you'll know what to do the second time.
Yeah.
Because this kind of took us by surprise. And, you know, the controversy, the politics, the divisiveness, where everybody's on different sides. And it seems like both schools of thought in terms of liberal versus conservative have gone to both extremes, and I remain an independent, you know, to the right on some things, left on others, and many other issues I consider to be nonpartisan. And I see myself as becoming more independent. It's kind of hard for me to see how somebody could align him or herself with one party because they've gotten so extreme. And yeah, the individual candidates and stuff with Ms. Cheney, certainly being a different Republican than Donald Trump or Jim Jordan or other politicians that we hear about all the time. And it is an interesting study from an academic standpoint, but bottom line is, Zach, we're on the same team. We're all Americans. We really should at least pretend to get along.
Exactly.
And I'd like to think we could do that. One great thing, Zach, Brandon, and everybody else who's listening, and listening on my Facebook video, is in the springtime, we have great wildlife, flora, and fauna, and many people don't realize what a good area this is for seeing animals and plants in their natural habitat. We're also lucky to have Mr. James Anderson, and you know him, Zach, and you know him indirectly, Brandon, I know him, a very good friend of the station, and he is nice enough to come on once a month, and he does sometimes call, to talk about the wildlife and the plants in this great area. Opportunities to learn, and he will be joining Glenn Coble next week, Thursday of next week, as he does every last Thursday of the month, to talk about the great wildlife, Marion County Park District, the Tall Grass Trail. So if you have any plans for Thursday, May 27th, or between 10:15 a.m. and noon, cancel them. Instead, invite your friends to listen to the radio, because James will be on with Glenn talking about the wildlife, the park district, the Tall Grass Trail. As a weather man, Zach, do you agree with me that we have an underrated park system and opportunities to view wildlife? Any suggestions, anything you like to do with your kids and your wife with respect to seeing and enjoying all the great natural features of this area?
So we actually, we've got actually two different park, I guess, organizations. We've got the Marion County Parks District, and then we've also got Paradise Nature Preserve out in Caledonia. And we actually try to at least get out once or twice a month to visit one of the parks, because I believe there's, if I'm not mistaken, four or five different parks in the Marion County Parks District. Then you've got Paradise as well. So getting out and just enjoying the nice weather and being able to see nature as it is, rather than, you know, the busy city life that is Marion, you know, getting out to enjoy that stuff is always a positive. Yeah.
You can read about it in a book, and that's also where we look at virtual learning on Zoom versus in person. Nothing beats going out to nature and seeing the frogs and toads, and even if it's a snake, you know, most snakes, they're a lot more afraid of you than you are of them.
Exactly.
And the birds, the cardinals, the robins, mm-hmm. the hummingbirds.
You know, and out at Tall Grass, we even get eagles out there, bald eagles. So being able to see...
Our natural national bird.
I mean, think about it. You've got your kids out at the Tall Grass Trail, and you're walking around the Marion Community Foundation Lake, or, you know, walking down the trail, and you see this bald eagle flying around. Well, guess what? I turn around, and I get to look at my six-year-old daughter and say, hey... Look, that bird right there is our national bird. You know, it's not just, you know, learning about nature. It's learning about, you know, pointing out different things that could mean something else or do mean something else, you know.
Right. What greater gift can a father give to his children than to show them that you don't just read in your history book about the bald eagle, about the cardinal being the Ohio State bird. Yep. You can see it in person right here in Marion. You don't have to travel. Look outside. And the eagle, it is beautiful. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's owls. Some of these features and creatures of nature, you have to see them to understand them. Yeah. Even ones we might be afraid of, I mean, like a snake. Because, again, most snakes, they are not harmful. They are more afraid of you than you are of them. You know, an eagle or an owl probably just thinks you're just curious, and you basically are. And, you know, frogs and toads, they're sort of cute. So there are animals that have lovable aspect to them. Some we're not really sure about. Some we don't understand. And, again, that's why we encourage you to listen the last Thursday of the month to Glenn's show when James is on, 10:15 to 12. He will take a call. And, you know James, Zach, he's a very personable guy. Yeah. He doesn't mind. I mean, I called him with kind of a dumb question a couple of shows ago. He doesn't mind. And he is flattered that people are interested in what he does mm-hmm. and wildlife, and certainly commends you as a father for wanting to show your children that these critters are available. They're our friends, and we're proud to share the area with them. Brandon Oka, you're still in the studio. You're not falling asleep or anything, are you?
Oh, no, just waiting.
Yeah, you were just kind of listening to our conversation. We haven't talked much about this in previous shows, but are you a nature enthusiast? What would you think if you were walking around near Marion and you saw a bald eagle? I mean, our national symbol that you've read about in your history books. Would that be cool? Is that something that you're kind of fascinated by?
Well, it wouldn't be my first, because back where I grew up in Indiana, we had a lake that had several nests of bald eagles, which surprised me as about a 10-year-old, so, you know.
So you've previously seen it.
It's interesting, because you don't expect that kind of thing in the middle of, you know, the Middle West.
Yeah, and one thing, too, is, you know, Zach, is we've developed land that used to be farmland in the mm-hmm. Polaris area in Columbus, Pickerington, Pataskala, many areas, and that's why we have deer. Because we are invading their land, and they have to go somewhere. And certain times of the year, they do like to go on dates, so to speak, and produce other deer, and that kind of happens sometimes, and we have to respect them.
Yeah, and I actually found out, I think it was just the other day or last week or something, that the white-tailed deer is actually our state animal for the state of Ohio.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew the state. I knew the cardinal was a state bird.
State bird is the cardinal. And what's nice about it, too, is here in Marion, you can actually walk around several neighborhoods, and you can see the cardinals just floating by.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a badge of honor to find a hummingbird and take a photo on the internet. So we've seen a lot of hummingbird photos.
Yeah.
Now, hummingbirds, Zach, you would know, because they're not much bigger than a bee, right? And they're kind of, I mean, they're like a chihuahua. They can be different sizes. But they're the chihuahua of birds.
Chihuahua of birds, I guess you would say. To be honest with you, that's going to be something that James would probably be better at answering, because, I mean, that's what he went to school for.
Yeah.
What are we talking? The last Thursday, was it?
Yeah, Thursday, the 27th, 10:15 to 12. Yeah, I'll call him, because I called them before, I think the last show, about, like, as he found copperheads. They're more like in southeastern Ohio. Some of the things that he's found locally. And even he, as much as he knows, he gets surprised by what you might find.
Yeah.
And, you know, the frogs and toads are kind of fascinating, because toads are a kind of frog, but not all frogs are toads, but all toads are frogs. And there are differences, like frogs like water more, and they look kind of similar, like an alligator and crocodile, but they're very different in some ways. I think one thing, a crocodile is more more aggressive, more dangerous than an alligator.
But the ultimate question is if, do you kiss the toad or do you kiss the frog?
I think, judged by most of the dates that I've gone on, I've probably kissed a combination of both.
Depends on which end, really.
I guess you could look at it that way, Brandon. Now, Zach, you wanted to talk about the cicadas. They come every 17 years. That's kind of interesting, because that's kind of like half your age. You're approximately, not quite, but almost. So it's like, have you seen cicadas twice or three times in your life? Or what is the current state of the cicada?
So I've actually, for myself, I've actually figured this up. The year I was born was the first year that they came out. And then at the age of 17, they came out of the ground again.
You were destined to be a weatherman, weren't you?
So literally, I'm like, every 17 years, well, is my age divided by 7 going to be enough to figure out if cicadas are coming out this year?
Wasn't there a delay this year because of the weather or something? I read about that.
So from what I've read on, every 17 years, cicadas kind of have this internal clock that determines when that 17 year
like
mark.
our atomic clock, right? Exactly. But that doesn't work. The atomic clock doesn't work. I'm not going to be like Scott and complain about it. I mean, I don't even use it. There's a clock on the wall right there, and there's a clock on the computer. This clock is literally a stand for my phone so I can do a live video.
Right.
But, you know, whatever turns you on.
It's a lovely paperweight.
Yeah, it actually says that it's June 1st, which is my birthday, and so it's kind of 2 weeks ahead right now.
We're going to have a party here for Adam's show on June 1st.
And we'll definitely be talking about how the station's renovations are going afterwards.
We might bring in our resident handyman or handy person and assistant property manager. So anyway, about the cicadas, Zach, I heard that they've been delayed by the weather.
So
it's kind of a big story. And, you know, next time we have cicadas, I don't even want to talk about how old I'm going to be. So at least I'm still a fairly young man at this year of the cicada.
Right. So, There kind of is a delay, and it's mainly because of temperature. Because cicadas don't come out until the soil around your yard reaches a certain temperature. We just had snow less than a month ago.
I must have took the cicadas for a loop, huh?
Yeah. So, and what was really crazy about it was there was actually a group of cicadas down in, I believe it was Kentucky and Tennessee area, that actually came up 4 years early.
Oh.
So basically what happens is the cicadas feed on the roots of trees.
I see.
Yeah. And then every 17 years, they come above ground.
Uh-huh.
To mate.
Goodness sakes. They Just imagine if people were like that. Or deer. 17 years.
Every 17 years. And
they're very patient, aren't they?
They are. And come to find out.
Laugh, Brandon. That was funny.
So that's what all the buzz is about.
Right. That's what. Well, and cicadas make off, you know, send off that loud screech.
Are they
sound.
Poisonous? I mean, if you see a cicada, they're kind of big, right?
Oh, they're
just don't eat them.
They're bigger than a hummingbird, aren't they?
Or close. I wouldn't say as big as a hummingbird. I'd say probably about three quarters.
Okay.
Of the size.
I mean,
of
they're
a
not poisonous. They don't sting. They really won't bother you, right? They're not aggressive like a wasp. They won't really hurt you.
To be honest with you, they're just more worried about trying to, what's the terminology that I'm trying
eat.
To use?
Find a girlfriend, a boyfriend?
Find a girlfriend or boyfriend.
So they eat the roots of a tree. That's an unusual diet. Well, I mean, termites eat wood. Is that? But they won't eat the wood in your house like a termite and destroy your house. They'll eat the tree roots, which we have plenty of in this area.
Yeah. So I know some of them. Last time I had checked, we had some that are actually coming up in southern Ohio. Down by the Cincinnati area. So it's slowly getting up through the state, but probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to start hearing that buzzing of a cicada or millions of cicadas throughout the area.
So call them sin-cicadas.
Sin-cicadas.
Okay. So if you see a cicada, don't bother him or her. Yep. They're not harmful. They won't sting you. They won't bite you.
They just want to find a girlfriend or boyfriend.
They're kind of ugly. They really aren't. I mean, well, even bees are attractive. Butterflies are beautiful. But they really aren't really much to look at, like a monarch butterfly or something.
Right.
So just leave them alone in their natural habitat.
Yep. And they kind of just, you know, hang out in the trees. They really like hanging out in the trees. I noticed that much. But, I mean, the big thing is down in the Kentucky area where the cicadas had come up 4 years earlier, they're trying to figure out if the cicadas are going to end up coming up this year in that area because of the fact that their internal clock had kind of put them ahead 4 years. When they came out.
So their internal clock is certainly in much worse shape than our atomic clock. I wonder what Scott would think about that.
Exactly.
I never heard a man complain more about an atomic clock in my whole lifetime. That's
the least of his worries.
So, Brandon, yes. You were kind of itching to make a comment, so the microphone is all... The floor is all yours, my friend.
Well, I'm going to have my little...
your 3 cents worth with inflation.
I won't say little guy over here, but no. The person next to me, Mr. Zach Fuller, has been quite a help in helping renovate this lovely station. We're trying to get back to normal, so to speak.
And that comes from the APM, right? Assistant Property Manager.
Yeah, essentially something like that. And he's not the greatest guy, but he's working on it.
Okay, but we do tip our hat to them if we were wearing a hat.
Yeah,
so
well,
an imaginary hat. We mentioned Melania Trump. And like Melania Trump, we have a private email server in Hillary. And that private email server is curated, programmed, and maintained by yours truly. And so you know it's going to work. Now, one thing we do with this private email server, unlike Hillary, is we read every single message. We don't delete them. If it's spam or we don't want to communicate or respond, we hit the delete key. But most of the time, we appreciate all correspondences received at said address. We encourage you to email me, adam@wwgh1071.com, scott@wwgh1071.com, and we will be happy to read your correspondence, even if it's just to say, hi, Adam, how you doing? I like your show. I don't like your show. Here's a suggestion, etc. Please send me a message, and I will be very grateful to know that you are participating interactively in this wonderful thing that we call radio. Speaking of email addresses and websites, Zach, you've done so much for our weather department with much more to come. Tell us a little bit about NewsForce and your own email server that they can use to communicate with you.
So they can actually reach us at my personal one is contact@newsforce247.com or as you hear in every single news weather update that we do. You can download the NewsForce 24/7 mobile app, and you can see that
you can contact us directly through the app as well. So, and it's basically free news, information, anything from news, weather, traffic, sports, politics, you name it, we've got you covered.
Cicadas.
Cicadas. We'll even have those covered.
With much more to come.
Yeah. So one of the big stories that I wanted to really quick bring up to you, Adam.
I'm all ears.
You ready for it?
All ears. All ears right here.
There they are. Vax-a-million.
Oh, yeah. I heard about the vaccination lottery.
So what's your take on it? And I'm kind of – I feel like I'm taking over Adam's show now.
What's the amendment where you're allowed to not make an opinion, the Fifth Amendment?
That's the Fifth
Amendment. We'll plead the Fifth on that one.
Okay, there we go.
You probably can figure out the rest.
Yep. So I actually read an article yesterday that said that they are currently in studies with – giving the vaccine to children between the ages of 5 and 12. And they had so many people volunteer their kids that they were not able to take them all.
I see.
So the question is if you had kids, would you be volunteering them to go test out a vaccine?
Well, let me unplead the Fifth, and I probably would not, no. We have about a minute and 40 seconds left, so I probably wouldn't. That certainly is a touchy subject, so that's all I'm going to say. Not sure what else to do about that.
It is very touchy.
Just 10 seconds. A quick game of match game. Hi, we're full of blank, and how are you?
Okay. We appreciate your 3 cents worth, Brandon.
There it is.
I love Match Game, and Pat Carroll, friend of the station. As many people that have been on this radio station have been on Match Game, and that's Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars. You never quite know whom he will have sharing the microphone with him. But are you like myself, Zach, just amazed by all of his guests?
I am.
That he is close personal friends with Phil Donahue. I mean, Ed Asner.
I mean,
Pat Carroll.
I mean, if he wants to pass off the phone number to me, and I can go ahead and start making new friends too, because the people I hang out with,
like Dick Cavett, I mean, come on.
the people I'm hanging out with now are, I don't even know anymore. Okay. But
I do admire Scott, and remind you to listen to his show either online or on the internet or the old-fashioned way on your radio every Monday through Friday, 8:15 a.m. to 10 Eastern Time. Celebrity interviews, local people like the mayor, police chief, other interesting dignitaries from the Marion area, and of course, taking your phone calls. Adam Left, thanking you for listening, thanking all of you fine folks for watching my video. Really appreciate Zach Fuller and Brandon Oak for sharing the studio today. Have a great rest of your day. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.